إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي لمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Babu Salati Tatawwur, the chapter is titled Salati Tatawwur, the supererogatory salah. And Rabi'ata بن كعب الأسلمي قال قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فقلت أسألك مرافقتك في الجنة from ربيعة the son of كعب from بن أسلم he said the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me قال Ask me whatever you want to ask. فَقُلْتُ أَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ He said, I said to him that I ask you that you let me accompany you in Al-Jannah. فَقَالْ The Messenger of Allah said, أَوَغَيْرَ ذَلِكِ Is that only what you want? That is, you don't want other things. فقلت هو ذاك I said that is it قال فعني على نفسك بكثرة السجود رواه مسلم The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said if that is the case help me with كثرة السجود a lot of سجود It is clear in this hadith that apart from the compulsory prayers, the five daily prayers, Salatul Jumu'ah, there are some other salawats that are recommended based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, فَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكِ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ Help me on that by doing a lot of sujood. Here the word sujood is used, but what is meant by it is salah. Just as they use the word raka to refer to a whole raka. So what is meant by sujood here is a whole raka. Is a whole raka. That is do a lot of raka'at that are supererogatory. رواه مسلم الإمام مسلم reported this وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما from Abdullah the son of Umar may Allah be pleased with both of them قال he said حفظت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم I memorized from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 ركعات 10 ركعات ركعتين قبل الظهر two ركع before الظهر وركعتين بعدها two ركع after صلاة الظهر وركعتين بعد المغرب في بيتي أن ترك صلاة المغرب in his house وركعتين بعد العشاء في بيتي أن ترك صلاة العشاء in his house وركعتين قبل الصبح أن ترك before the subh prayer متفق عليه. This is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وفي رواية لهما in a report by Al-Bukhari and Muslim وركعتين بعد الجمعة في بيتي أن ترك after صلاة الجمعة in his house. ولمسلم الإمام مسلم هذا الفرفوش كان إذا طلع الفجر لا يصلي إلا ركعتين خفيفتين. When the fajr appeared, he would not observe except two light rakah. Now from this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, it is clear that there are other raka'at that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will observe apart from the compulsory raka'at. So you observe two rakah before Zuhr and after Zuhr. You observe two rakah after Salatul Maghrib, two rakah after Salatul Isha, and two rakah before Salatul Subh, totally 10 rakah. So which he saw and he memorized from the practices of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of the time the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will observe this rakaat in his house, not inside the masjid. But if one observes it in the masjid, there is nothing wrong in this. And at times, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will also observe it in the masjid. But most of the time, this rakaat will be observed in his house, and they are known as the rawatib, that is the regular supererogatory salah, the regular supererogatory salah. So they are called as-sunanu ar-rawatib. So in the report by Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim, he observed two rakah after Salatul Jum'ah in his house. In his house. So it is Sunnah to also observe two rakah after Salatul Jum'ah, either in one's house or in the masjid. In the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana musalliyan ba'da al-jum'ah falyusalli arba'ah." Whoever wants to observe any supererogatory rakah after Salatul Jum'ah should observe four rakah. Some of the scholars, they said this means if one is going to observe it inside the masjid, one should observe four rakah. But if one is going to observe it at home, one should observe two rakah. So this is the way some scholars have understood these two ahadith, that he observed two rakah after Salatul Jum'ah in his house, and he said whoever is going to observe Salah after Salatul Jum'ah should observe four rakah. Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah was of the opinion that one can combine the two, that is observe four rakah in the masjid, then observe two rakah at home. Shaykh Uthaym ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah said, if it is in the masjid, one wants to observe it, one observes four rakah. If it is at home, that one wants to observe it, one observes two rakah. For the one that is ratiba, is two rakah. Just as Salatul Dhuhr has two rakah of ratiba, or four rakah times as contained in the hadith of Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. Wa Aisha رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يدع أربع من قبل الظهر وركعتين قبل الغداء رواه البخاري. هو موضع عائشة رضي الله عنها said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would not abandon four rak'ah before dhuhr وركعتين قبل الغداء and will not abandon two rak'ah before صلاه الصبح. الامام البخاري reported this. وعنها likens from our mother Aisha قالت she said لم يكن النبي صلى الله على شيء لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل اشد تعهدا منه على ركعه الفجر. متفق عليه. Aisha رضي الله عنها said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم would not do diligently any nafila the way he would do with respect to two rak'ah before fajr. That is, he would take seriously two rak'ah before fajr more than any other salah. So and that's why in some of the reports it was said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not abandon rak'at al-fajr safaran wala hadara at home and when on a journey. The same thing with respect to witr, he would not abandon it at home and when he was on a journey. So the most emphatic of nawafil, the rawatib is rak'at al-fajr. Then the witr is also the most emphatic of the other salawat that are not compulsory. ولمسلم in the report of al-imam muslim rak'at al-fajr khairun ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Two rak'ah before fajr is better than this dunya, this worldly life, وما فيها, and whatever is in it. This tells us the importance of rak'at al-fajr. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not abandon it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do it more than he would do any other nafila. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is better than this worldly life and whatever is in it. وعن أم حبيبة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها قالت from أم حبيبة one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم she said سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say من صلى اثنتي عشرة ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له لهن بيت في الجنة. Whoever observes 12 rak'ah in a day and night, bunya lahu bihinna baytun fil jannah, a house will be built for him in al jannah with them. Rawahu Muslim. Al-Imam Muslim reported this. Wa fi riwayah, in a report, tatawwu'an, that is superfluous, not compulsory. So وللترمذي نحو الإمام الترمذي has a similar report وزاد أربعا قبل الزور وركعتين بعدها وركعتين بعد المغرب وركعتين بعد الإشاء وركعتين قبل صلاة الفجر. So this is the detail of the 12 rak'ah. Four before Zuhr, two after Zuhr, making six, two before Maghrib, making eight, وَرَكَعْتَيْنِ بَعْدَ الْإِشَاء, two before, after Isha, making ten, وَرَكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ, and two rak'ah before صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ. So, these are the explanation of the 12 rak'ah, four before Zuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Isha and two before Salah two, and Fajr. So, meaning if you look at the hadith of Ummu Habiba radiallahu anha, she said four before Zuhr. Why that of Abdullah ibn Umar said two before Zuhr? So Ibn Umar said he memorized 10. Why Ummu Habiba said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said whoever observed 12 rakah. So what made that of Ummu Habiba to be 12 is the addition of two additional rakah to that of two before Zuhr. So, and that is why the sunnah al-ratiba before Dhuhr can either be two or four, and can also be either what can be four and four. So four before and four after. Walil khamsa anha, the five reported from her. من حافظ على أربع قبل الظهر وأربع بعدها حرمه الله على النار. Whoever stick to four raka before Dhuhr and four raka after Dhuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect such a person from fire. So, as I said earlier, that of Dhuhr can be four before and four after. When Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu maqal, from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, is said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rahimallahu imra'an salla arba'an qabla al-asr. May Allah have mercy on a person that observed four rakah before asr. Rawahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawud wa Tirmidhi وحطنه وابن خزيمة وصححه. Now this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar concerning observing four rakah before Asr, this is not a ratiba. His sunnah is not ratiba. It's not a regular one. But it's something that is good. A lot of scholars authenticated this hadith. So that's why before Salatul Asr, it is recommended that you observe four Raka, if there is time for it, because of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Rahimallahu Muran Salla Arba'an Qabla Al-Asr. May Allah have mercy on the one who pray four Raka before Asr. When Abdullah ibn Mughaffal Al-Muzani Ani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, from Abdullah Al-Muzani, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Sallu qabla al-maghrib, observe salah before maghrib. Sallu qabla al-maghrib, observe salah before maghrib. Thumma qala fi thalitha, the third time the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, liman sha'a, that is, whoever wills, karahiyata an yattakhidha al-nasu sunnah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam detested that the people will take it to be a regular sunnah, to take it as ratiba before Salatul Maghrib, by something that is okay, that is good, is rewardable when one observes Salah two rakah before the Maghrib is observed. So this is something that is good. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِبْنِ حِبَّانِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَّى قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. Ibn Hibban have the report of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed two rakah before Maghrib. Wali Muslimin an Anasin, Al Imam Muslim reported from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Kunna nusalli raka'atayn ba'da ghurubi shamsi wa kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yarana falam ya'murna wa lam yanhana. We used to observe two rakah before Maghrib. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see us. فَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنَا, he did not command us to do that. وَلَمْ يَنْهَنَا, and he did not forbid us from doing it. But if you look at the hadith of Abdullah When Mughaffal al-Muzani, radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib. Anas radiallahu anhu said the Messenger of Allah did not instruct them to do it and did not forbid them from doing it. You will see them doing it. So which one are we going to take? Scholars will say that al-Muthbit muqaddamun ala al-Nafi. The one who establishes takes precedence over the one that negates. Possibly Anas wasn't there when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them Sallu qabla al-Maghrib. So Abdullah al-Muzani reported what he saw, what he heard. Anas did not witness it. He knew that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see them observing two rak'ah before Maghrib. But he never commanded them to do, and he never asked them not to do. So we are going to take what Abdullah al-Muzani has said, because he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed them to observe two rak'ah before Maghrib. And he said, Liman sha'a, for whoever wills, which means it's not compulsory. So likewise, he said, كَرَهِيَةً يَتَّخِذْهَا النَّاسُ السُنَّةِ for fear, or for I detested that the people take it as sunnah. He detested that the people take it as sunnah. So, وَنَعِيشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخفف ركعتين اللتين قبل صلاة الصبح حتى إني أقول أقرأ بأم الكتاب. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم observed the two rak'ah before الصبح. That Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله عنه said, he memorized from him that Umm Habiba رضي الله عنها said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays it or prays them together with the other raka'at, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to view the house of the person in al-Jannah. These two raka'ah that we call raka'at al-fajri, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed them, as Aisha radiallahu anha has said, he observed these two raka'ah, yukhaffif الركعتين اللتين قبل صلاة الصبح. So it will make them snappy. It will not lengthen. So حتى إني أقول, to the extent that I will say أقرأ بأم الكتاب. Did he recite Surah Al-Fatiha? That is the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who quickly observed these two rak'ah. To the extent that Aisha رضي الله عنها will be doubting if he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. And we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not observe any Salah without reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. There is no Salah that you recite Surah Al-Fatiha in it. Only with Salah Al-Janaza. If one is observing Salah on the dead one, you still have to watch, recite Surah Al-Fatiha. But for the fact that this will be very quick, short, Aisha radiallahu anha would think maybe he did not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. She knew that he recited it, but because of the shortness of the two rak'ah, she would feel that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never recited Surah Al-Fatiha, but he would recite. To the extent that وأن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ في ركعتي الفجر قل يا أيها الكافرون وقل هو الله أحد. So the essence that he will recite قل يا أيها الكافرون and قل هو الله أحد in addition to the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha as contained in this hadith of Abu Uwayra رضي الله عنه. That is, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم would not make do with the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha in these two rak'ah that we call Raka'at al-Fajr. He would also recite at times قل يا أيها الكافرون أنج قل هو الله أحد قل يا أيها الكافرون in the fourth ركعة and قل هو الله أحد in the second ركعة وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى ركعتي الفجر اضطجع على شقه الأيمن رواه البخاري عائشة رضي الله عنها also informed us about the practice of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم whenever he observed rak'at al-fajr. After the observance of rak'at al-fajr, ittaja ala shiqqi al-ayman. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم will lie down on his right side. He will lie down on his right side. He will do this. When Abi Uwairata رضي الله عنه قال from Abu Uwaira may Allah be pleased with him he said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى أحدكم الركعتين قبل صلاة الصبح فليضطجع على جنبه الأيمن when one of you observe two ركع before صبح فليضطجع على جنبه الأيمن after the observance he should lie on his right side. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والترمذي وصححه. الإمام أحمد reported this and أبو داود and الترمذي. الترمذي declared it to be صحيح. الترمذي declared it to be صحيح. نعم. Based on the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم practiced that. Is it sunnah that whenever we finish the raka'at al-fajr that we should lie on our right side? It is sunnah. If you want to go by what the other hadith, which is the hadith of Abu Uraira radiallahu anhu, says that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ الرَّكَعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ فَلْيَرْتَجِعْ. When one of you observe two rak'ah before fajr, فَلْيَرْتَجِعْ, this is command. He should lie on his right side. This is the command from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha reported that he will practice it. His practice may not be taken to be watched, may not be taken to be compulsory. But here we have the hadith that says watch. If any one of you observes raka'at al-fajr, he should lie on his right side. So this is amr. والأصل في الأمر الوجوب. And the basis in the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the command of Allah subhanahu wa taala, is that it is obligatory. But scholars, most scholars have said it is not obligatory. So that the highest we can say, it is what is that it is sunnah mustahabba. It is sunnah mustahabba. However, Ibn Hazmi and some they said it is compulsory. To the extent that the one who doesn't observe it has no salat to subhi to them. So they connect it because it said that when one of you observes salat to the two rak'ah before fajr, faliyat tajr is a command. So if one does not observe it and one goes ahead to observe salat to subhi, they said it has negative effect. That is, the non-observance of that thing has negative effect on Salat al-Sukh. So this is something that is ba'ij. This is what is very, very far. So the highest we can say is that it is mustahab to lie down on the right side after the observance of Raka'at al-Fajr. However, in some of the reports, Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he finished the raka'at al-fajr, if she was awake, he would be discussing with her. But if she was not awake, he would lie down on his right side. From this, it is clear that it is not compulsory, then it is not sunnah to do it, unless if one is free. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to do a tijar on the Shirk al-Ayman because Aisha radiallahu anha was not there for him to discuss with her. So this is the Wader's opinion that this is not something that he says it's almost sunnah. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said فَلْيَتَّجِرْ, that one should lie on the right side. So scholars, they also differ on the authenticity of the hadith. Some say the hadith is not authentic, but the hadith is authentic. But this will be with respect to somebody who does not have something else to do. The person is free after he has been what, observing maybe the Qiyam al-Layl and is just taking a rest before going for Salat al-Subhi. So, wallahu a'lam. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى فإذا خشي أحدكم الصبح صلى ركعة واحدة توتر له ما قد صلى متفق عليه. In a hadith agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the prayer of the night is masna masna, is two rakah. فَإِذَا خَشَىٰ أَدُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ, if one of you fears the emergence of a subh, صَلَّ رَكَعْ, he should conclude by observing رَكَعَةً wahida, one rakah, تُوْتِرُ لَأُوْ مَا قَدْ صَلَّىٰ, that will be the withdrawal of all that he has been observing, the two rakah that he has been observing. So this is muttafaqun ali. Wa il khamsa wa sahaw ibn Hibban bi lafzi salatu al-layl wa al-nahar matna matna wa qala an-nasai hadha khata. Now the five recorded in the sunan, likewise al-imam Ahmad, that it is said that salatu al-layl wa al-nahar, the prayer of the night and the prayer of the day are matna matna, two shuraka. So Al-Imam al-Nasai said this is a mistake. She is not Salatul Layl wa Nahar, is only Salatul Layl matna matna. That is, the prayer of the night is two shuraka. So in this hadith, it is clear that we can observe as many rakah as possible at night. We can observe as many rakah as possible at night. It is clear from the hadith. Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. The prayer of the night is two rakah taslim. Two rakah taslim. Two rakah taslim. فَإِذَا خَشَ أَدُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ صَلَّ رَكَعَةً وَاحِدًا. When you are afraid that subh is coming in, the full dawn is about to appear, one should pray one rakah. Tutiru la umma qad salla. That will be the witr of all that is in praying. So it will cap all that he has observed. There are some scholars, they have the opinion that this hadith that says Salatul Layl is matna matna, we should not understand it to be, to mean what, you can pray as many rakah as possible. We should understand it that it is good for you to observe two rakah, make the slim, two rakah, make the slim, two rakah, make the slim. But you should not exceed 11 rakah. This is the understanding of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah and some of those who share his position. What is the argument? They base the argument on the hadith of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, who said that ma zada Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi Ramadan wala fi ghayrihi ala 11 raka'ah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not exceed 11 raka'ah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. So they argue that this is the practical implementation of the statement, Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. The prayer of the night is two rakah. The practical implementation or application of that hadith is that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not exceed 11 rakah. So, and that's why to them they believe that if you exceed 11 rakah in your night prayer, in Ramadan and outside Ramadan, the Shaykh alayhi rahmatullah believe it is bid'ah. Believe it is what? It is bid'ah. He betrays it with some other arguments, like the hadith that Umar radiallahu anhu ordered Ubay ibn Ka'ab and Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhuma to lead the people in Salah 11 rakah. To lead the people in Salah, Umar radiallahu anhu ordered Ubay ibn Ka'ab and Tamim al-Dari to lead people in Salah 11 rakah. So that even Umar did not ask them to exceed 11 rakah. However, most scholars do not see that hadith the way the Shaykh has seen it. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not exceed 11 rakah. This is because he would lengthen his salah. He would lengthen each rakah. And that was what Aisha radiallahu anha says, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not go beyond 11 rakah. Or you observe 11 rakah. He said, "What you sali arba'an, you observe 4 rakah. Fala tis'al an husnihinna wa tulihinna." He said, forget about how good those 4 rakah were and how lengthy those 4 rakah were. Summa you sali arba'an. Then after that, you observe 4 rakah again. Fala tis'al an husnihinna wa tulihinna. Forget about the goodness of those 4 rakah and how lengthy they were. Summa yusalli salata, or yutir bi salat. Then you would observe witr with 3 rakah, all together making 11. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lengthen his salah. So when he lengthened his salah, he will not be able to exceed 11 rakah. Even if he had wanted to exceed, the time would not permit him. The time for Fajr will be almost will almost come in. So with this, most of the time, he will end up praying 11 rakah. At times, he might end up praying what? 9 rakah or 7 rakah at times. But most of the time, he will pray 11 rakah. Even in some of the hadith, he had prayed 13 rakah. However, when they said he prayed 13 rakah, some of the scholars or some of the reports let us know that they have added Sunnah al-Isha al-Ba'diyya. That 2 rakah that you observe after Salatul Isha have been added to it. So that was what made it to be 13. So in some of the reports it was said that it was rakah al-Fajri that have been added to it. That was what made it 13. And in some of the reports, it will not say that Raka'at al-Fajr or Sunnah al-Isha al-Ba'diyya, either of them was added. Rather, they just say they observe 2 rakah, 2 rakah, 2 rakah, then like that till it all was total 13. So the point here is that the position of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah that one should not exceed 11 rakah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan, this position is not what most scholars are upon. It's not what most scholars are upon. So what most scholars are upon is that you can pray as many rakah as possible. Now Sheikh Ismail bin Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, as contained in Majmu' al-Fatawa, said if you see any scholar that is saying we cannot exceed 11 rakah, then that because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will pray 11 rakah, the scholar or the person should also say that one should lengthen it the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lengthen it. Not that you just take the number of the rakaat and you leave how you will lengthen it. You should also take how you will lengthen the salah so that everything will agree with that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you just pick the number of the rakaat that you observe, so one has not done justice to the hadith. But wallahu alam, the correct view is that you can exceed 11 rakah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. There was a companion called Talib bin Ali radiallahu anhu. So when he visited his son, and it was time for them to observe this Qiyamul Layl, so to say. So he prayed with them. So that is, he led them in Salah. He led the family of his son in Salah. So he left. When he got back to his house, so he also led them in another Salah, that is, in another Qiyam. So he also prayed. So when it was what? When it was time for him to observe the witr, he said that they should pray their witr. He had prayed his own witr before. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La witrani fi laylatin." La witrani fi laylatin. That is, one should not observe two witr in a night. If it is wrong for one to exceed 11 rakah, so Talib bin Ali would not have prayed another salah, another nafila for his family in his house. Because he had prayed one in the house of what? His son. He had led them in that. So he wouldn't have led them in another one again if it was what? If it was wrong. The only thing he said that what? He would not observe the witr again, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La witrani fi laylatin." So Al-Imam al-Trimidi and Al-Imam Abu Dawud, both of them reported this hadith of La witrani fi laylatin. One of them narrated the story. One of them narrated the story that is that led to the statement, the story that led to Talib bin Ali quoting La witrani fi laylatin. So in addition to the understanding of most scholars, that you can pray as many rakah as possible. So just make it two rakah. Now, can we pray four rakah, do tashahud and make the sunnah four rakah like that, based on the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha? So this, most scholars say, that is not the meaning of the hadith. Now, that Aisha said, you will pray four rakah, then four rakah, then three rakah. Four rakah with taslim in every two rakah. But he will rest after observing four rakah. Then he will rise again to observe two rakah with taslim, two rakah with taslim, then he will rest again. So this is the interpretation of four rakah, then three rakah. Not that he will pray four rakah at a go. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah has the view that one can pray four rakah at a go. So, but the problem is, if we interpret it this way, if you fast, that means you are going to start the four afresh. Let's say you have observed three, for instance, and maybe while observing the fourth one, you release gas. That means everything has watched, has spoiled. So you have to start afresh again. But if you make it two, you make the slim two, you make the slim, this will be what? Convenient. This will be convenient. So now, with respect to the witr, you can pray, if you have to, you want to pray less than seven, you can pray six at the go, then the seventh one, you watch, you pray, you do the shahud on the sixth one, and you bring the seventh one, you make the slim. So if you want to pray nine, so you can pray what, eight at the go, you do tashahud on the eighth rakah, you will make the slim. Then you bring the ninth one, you do tashahud and you make the slim. These are also what established. But with respect to the interpretation of four, most scholars do not see it as you can pray four rakah at the go. The way they will say with respect to praying seven rakah, where you pray six rakah at a go, you make the shahud, no taslim, then you bring your seventh rakah, then you make the shahud and make the taslim. Or you want to pray nine rakah of the eight, you do tashahud, no taslim. So you bring the ninth one. So this is established from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the point here is that the way their opinion with respect to exhibiting 11 rak'ah is that it is permissible. It is permissible. And that way, if you look at Sunan Tirmidhi, when you talk about the tarawih that people observe, it talks about the number of rak'ah they will observe in Medina during its time or before its time, and the number of rak'ah they will observe in Makkah. That the people of Makkah, you observe maybe 21 or so. While the people of Medina will be observing about 36 or something like that. So Imam Tirmidhi recorded this in his work in his Sunnah when explaining one of the hadith. So the point here is that we can observe as many rak'ah as possible in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. So the prayer of the night is 2 rak'ah. So you bring it to an end when you fear that Fajr is coming in. So by observing 1 rak'ah to be the witr. Now the other one that says Salatul Layl, Wan Nahar, Masna, Masna. This is said to the Khabar, as said by Imam al Nasa'i. But if you want to observe Salah during the day, like the Salatul Duha, that you can observe as many rak'ah as possible too, just like that of the night. We have evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed two rak'ah or asked us to, that we can observe 2 rak'ah. Evidence that what he observed 8 rak'ah, we have evidence for this during the conquest of Makkah. So the fact that he observed 8 does not mean that is what the maximum you can exceed. Is just like that of the night. So you can pray as many rak'ah as possible. So you can pray as many rak'ah as possible. So only that in that of the day, so your recitation will be all to be silent. While in that of the night, you can make your recitation silent and you can make it loud. So this tells us the nawafil, the tatawwur, that we can do in a day apart from the compulsory salah. So inshallah we stop here, we continue some more time. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Before Maghrib or? Now the Salah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says Sallu qabla al-Maghrib in the report. Sallu qabla salatil Maghrib. So the Salah would have stage. But before the Salah is established, that is when you are going to observe the 2 rak'ah. Not before the sun sets. And when the sun is about to set, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discourages us from observing nafila. So as contained in the hadith of Uqba bin Amir, who said, Salatu sa'atin kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yanhana an nusalliya fihinna wa an naqbura fihinna mutana. There are 3 periods that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would forbid us from observing Salah in them and from burying our dead ones in them. So he mentioned the 3rd one, which is حِينَ تَضَيَّفُ الشَّمْسُ إِلَى الْغُرُوبِ, when this man is about to set. So he that said that would not tell us صَلُّ قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ, that what he meant by Maghrib day is before sunset. Rather, قَبْلَ صَلَاتِ الْمَغْرِبِ, that is before the observance of Salatul Maghrib, after the Adhan has been made. So there will be time for the people to observe this nafila of two rakah. So Anas radiallahu anhu says he will observe it. The Messenger of Allah did not forbid them, nor did he what? Order them to do that. But the hadith of Abdullah al-Muzani said the Messenger of Allah instructed them to do that. Only that he said, liman sha'a, for who wills, for whoever wills. So when you are praying, you have ablution and the adhan has been made, you are observing it. You see somebody who is not observing it, you should not look down upon the person as not being what? Godly. During time of the Messenger of Allah, some will observe and some will not observe. Because the Messenger of Allah said, as the imam sha'a, for whoever wills. So Allah wa'ala. Alaykum as-salam. More reward in Ramadan than outside Ramadan. Now, the purpose of the nawafil of salah, nawafil of fasting, nawafil of zakah is to swell our scale on the day of Qiyamah. When somebody observes salah, he cannot claim that he has observed it perfectly. I mean, he composes salah. And that was why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah will say to his angels, "Unzuru alli abdi min tatawur." Look, does my servant have tatawur, any superiority act? Fatukammal bihi faridatuhu. So that the tatawur, the superiority act, to be used to complete his tatawur, his faridah, his composite work. The tatawur will be used to complete his faridah, his composite act. So, and that's why we try as much as possible to have tatawurat of salah, of fasting, of hajj, of umrah, of sadaqah. We have tatawurat in order to perfect our watch, our fara'ij. This is something that is good. So this is the essence of watch, of the tatawurat. And if you look at what you have mentioned, you have enough. If somebody says, I have strength to pray, Messenger of Allah said, wa salatul layl, masna, masna. So if you have the time to spend 6 hours, 7 hours at night, you are free. But if you know it's going to tell on your head, for instance, then you do according to what? Your ability. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. If it is fasting, you have what? Enough that you can do. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the best fasting is what? The fasting of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. You fast a day, it will not fast the other day. Like that. Which means almost half a year you will use it. But that is the best fasting. There is no one that is better than this. But if one cannot do that, you can watch, you can take maybe fasting any 3 days of the month. Any 3 days of the month. You can take maybe fasting every Monday, you can take fasting maybe Monday, Thursday, like that. So according to your ability. According to your ability. But for somebody to say, I want to do supererogatory days, then he now introduces bid'ah when he has what? Enough sunnah. He abandoned those sunnah. He has taken what? Concocted ibadah that have no evidence. So this is wrong. And that's why scholars will say, Fima sahha huniyat muwakifaya. If you are strong, what is authentic is what? It's sufficient. You can't do it. Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah will say that A'badu al-Bashar, that he is the most devout of human beings, is the Huda alayhi salatu wasalam, based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about how you fast. So when one now abandons the recommended fasting of Dawood or recommended fasting of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take on towards the big hour, such a person is losing. So the purpose of this at the Wa'at is to increase our buddhis, to swell our composing acts with the superficial ones that we are doing. Now, the acts of ibadah that we do, the tatawu'at, the nawafil that we do inside Ramadan, are they more rewardable than outside Ramadan? So we hope so. We hope so. Because in Ramadan, the good deeds that we do are what are very, very rewardable, so to say. So the acts that we do outside Ramadan so will not be as great as the ones that we do in Ramadan. So and that's why some of the scholars, they will prefer to read as many Quran as possible. That is, they will try to finish the recitation of the whole Quran as many times as possible. And some will finish what, 60 times, some 30 times in the month of Ramadan. Because they want to maximize the reward in what? In Ramadan. So Allahu A'lam. Now, somebody who rises from ruku, instead of saying Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, he says Allahu Akbar. Is a person going to do sujood sahwi? This is recommended according to some scholars, and according to some scholars, it is compulsory. It is compulsory. Those who believe that Sami'a Allahu liman hamida is one of the sunanu al-mustahabba in salah, they will say it is recommended that one does sujood sahwi if one forgets to say Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Why those who believe it is compulsory but not a ruknu will say it is compulsory on one to say to do sujood sahwi? Huh? Those who say it is not compulsory will say it is recommended that one does sujood sahwi. Those who say it is compulsory will say it is compulsory on one to say to do sujood sahwi. How this is played. So it depends on the conviction of the person that has left out Sami'a Allahu liman hamida when rising from rukur to sujood. So it depends. Now, when one says it, now you are supposed to say Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, and one says Allahu Akbar, and one says it quickly before one completes the rising. So does one need to do the sujood again? So since one has said it before completing the rising, there is no need for that, because one has said what one is supposed to say. And the addition of Allahu Akbar is what zikru. This is not like adding an act. That is like maybe adding a ruku, adding a sujood. Same with adding a ruku or adding a sujood. This will be what this will affect the salah. But one adds Allahu Akbar, so this does not affect the salah. Wallahu a'lam. Now, can a menstruation woman do itikaf? Now, this has to do with the position of the scholars, whether a menstruating woman can enter the masjid or not. So most scholars will say a menstruating woman cannot enter the masjid. But those who believe that she can enter the masjid, so they may have what? A different position. But if she enters the masjid, what actually is she going to be doing there? If she wants to do ibadah, since she is menstruating, it is good for her not to watch, not to come into the masjid and sit there. That is what is better for her. Even if she believes, takes the position that what? A menstruating woman can enter the masjid. So if she enters, so that means she will be with menstruation and the people will be praying, she will not be praying. Unlike a woman that is suffering from istihada, that's a different case. So one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would menstruate, would see istihada, and she was in the masjid, or another female companion in the masjid while she was suffering from istihada. So a mustahada, a lady that is suffering from istihada, is pure. She will pray. So unlike the ahid, a menstruating woman, she won't pray. So if she is not going to pray, why is she remaining inside the masjid? There is no point. Whether we say she can enter or not. So Allah a'lam.
Junior brother to husband married his junior sister of his wife.
Now can a junior brother, a younger brother of the person, marry the younger sister of his wife, of his brother's wife? There is nothing that prevents it. There is nothing that prohibits it. If you look at those that are prohibited for us to marry, so they are not among Muslims. So you go to Surah Al-Nisa, those that we cannot marry, Allah has mentioned them. And the Messenger of Allah has also said that it is not permissible to marry a lady and an aunt. So you can't marry a lady and an aunt, either paternal or maternal aunt. You can't marry them together. You can't marry them together. But if you marry them separately, maybe this one is late, then marry that one, or this one is divorced, you marry the other one, there is no aunt. That is, you are talking about a single person now. A single person. So if this is permissible, so if I marry a lady and my younger brother marry a sister, there is nothing that prohibits that in the Sharia. It's permissible. Allahu Akbar. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك.